Well, this morning we begin a new series called Devoted. We're going to be thinking about spiritual habits, disciplines that enable us to grow to know God, develop our faith, and help us nurture love for Jesus in our own lives. I suppose January is the time when you want to get fit and you want to, you know, get engaged in some kind of new fad diet or maybe some exercise routine. And in the church, it's no different. Or is it? Is there any difference between the kind of spiritual habits that we want to develop and the ones that everyone else is doing right now? Well, hopefully you'll see that there are some distinctions as we think about this in the next few weeks. This morning we're going to think about study or reading the Bible and how that habit will help us know God, grow in our relationship with Him, and become the people that God has intended us to be. To help us think about this particular spiritual habit, we're going to read together from 2 Timothy chapter 3. Beginning in verse 10. If you've got a Bible at home, why don't you go and open it and get it in front of you right now and follow along with me as we read the scripture together. Just open the Bible to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and we're going to read together from verse 10. This is God's word. You, however, know all about my teaching, my way of life, my purpose, faith, patience, love, endurance, persecutions, sufferings, what kinds of things happened to me in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra, the persecutions I endured. Yet the Lord rescued me from all of them. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evil men and imposters go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. We end there giving thanks to God for His word to us today. Have you noticed how skillful we are at sharing information about ourselves for the benefit of other people? For example, you get a phone call, you're in the car, and you answer the phone and say, "Good to hear from you. I'm just on my way back from the gym," so that the person on the other end of the line is impressed. Or maybe you're telling a story about someone in work and you happen to be able to drop in this key piece of information to say, "There's this guy who works for me," just so that other people know that you are in a management position. Maybe someone talks about a restaurant that they have eaten in and you were there too, and you say, "Oh yes, I have eaten in that restaurant. We went there when we were celebrating my son's graduation. He got a first from Oxford." You know, we are experts at dropping in pieces of information about ourselves for the benefit of ourselves, not for the benefit of other people. Golfers do it all the time, standing on the tee box at the first tee, and they say things like, "My shoulder's a little bit sore." Or they say, "It's been a long time since I've done this. I hope I can remember." They're getting their excuses in so that the fellow golfers know that, "Oh, I'm a little bit rusty here. I'm not feeling the best." Or we say things like, "Yes, I got the email, but I haven't quite read it fully yet. So, you know, don't expect me to answer too many questions about it." We're all guilty of sharing information about ourselves for our own benefit, either to be applauded or accommodated so that people will tiptoe around us or so that people will be impressed with us. This is not the case with God. He is not compelled to open up Himself to us so that He feels good about Himself. God doesn't share information about Himself or knowledge of Himself for His own good. God reveals Himself to us for our good. How encouraging is that? How encouraging is it to know that in this book that we have, the Bible, the Word of God that He has given to us is for your good. That the whole point of this book is to bless you, to encourage you for your benefit, not for God's. Everything recorded in Scripture is for your good. Paul tells Timothy, all Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness so that the man of God will be thoroughly equipped for every good work. The Bible is useful, profitable, all of it. God speaks for your benefit, not His. God doesn't speak in the Bible just because He likes the sound of His own voice. He wants you to know Him. He wants you to discover the greatness of who He is. It's all for your benefit and mine. At the very end of John's Gospel, when he's summarizing the account of all that he's written in the Gospel, all those miracles, all those stories, all the incredible things that Jesus has done, John says this, there are many things that aren't recorded in this gospel, but these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you might have life in His name. It's important to be aware of this as we think about Bible reading, study of Scripture, living a devoted life, the habit of reading Scripture. You see, if we don't believe that the Bible is for our good, if we don't believe that Scripture is given for our benefit, if we don't believe that the Bible is a gift from God for us, then we'll fall into a false understanding. We'll believe a lie. We'll get the wrong notion in our head that I better get my Bible reading done today to get that ticked off my things to do list to appease God and keep Him happy because He wants me to read the Bible and that will appease Him. I'll get that cleared off my things to do list and mean there's one less person hassling me. That is not why God gave us the Bible. That is not why we have Scripture. J.I. Packer, in his brilliant book, Knowing God, says this, as it would be cruel to an Amazonian tribesman to fly him into London, put him down in Trafalgar Square, and leave him, as one who knew nothing of English or England, to fend for himself, so we are cruel to ourselves if we try to live in this world without knowing about the God whose world it is and who runs it. The world becomes a strange, mad, painful place, and life in it is a disappointing and unpleasant business for those who do not know about God. As we begin this series called Devoted, thinking about spiritual habits and thinking about reading Scripture or studying the Bible, I'm sure many of you feel like the world that we're living in right now is strange, mad, painful, disappointing. I know that has been my experience too and is my experience. My hope is and my prayer is that as we get to know God, we will have comfort like no other. We will have strength that is not available elsewhere. We will have hope for our future that is not possible outside of Jesus Christ. That we will benefit from everything that He has revealed to us in His Word. That we get to be reminded of who God is, and it would be a massive help to us in this crazy world that we're living in right now. We've not been left to fend for ourselves. You are not left to fend for yourself in the situation that you find yourself in. And Scripture reminds you of that again and again and again. Surely I'm with you always, to the very end of the age. I will never leave you or forsake you. You are not alone. You may not be in the building in Carmoney Church today, but you are not alone. God wants you to read His Word because it will be a benefit to you. God has spoken, and you can get to know Him. Through Scripture, you'll be thoroughly equipped for everything that life throws at you and everything that life has thrown at you. The one word that I want you to take away from today, the one word that I want you to remember today, I want you to write it on a post-it note, stick it on your fridge, on the dashboard of your car, put it on your desk. I want you to write the word equipped. Maybe type it into your phone. Just write that word equipped and have it somewhere. Somewhere visible so that you look at every situation that you're facing right now when you feel totally ill-equipped to be reminded that because you have the Bible, an opportunity for a relationship with Jesus Christ, you are thoroughly equipped. No matter how ill-equipped you feel, you are thoroughly equipped to deal with that situation because you have God's word to point you to the person of Jesus Christ who will be with you to the very end of the age. Equipped. We ran out of apple juice in our house this week. Now, that might not be a big deal to you, but it's an absolute catastrophe to our kids and causes deep disappointment at breakfast time. You have no idea the pain that is caused when orange juice is poured into the glass that has bits in it. It's just a terrible substitute. Horrendous. The look and expression on my children's faces as I poured it in to their cup, it was not palatable. We ran out of apple juice. And there's images, isn't there, of supermarkets with empty shelves, fruit and veg aisles, completely decimated. People are sharing these photos online. Empty shelves. Maybe your bank account is feeling the strain of Christmas. Maybe your favorite jeans are feeling the strain of Christmas. We are a people with limits. We talk about being at the end of ourselves. The moment you were born, someone wrote your surname on a little bit of card in a plastic band, put the date on it and your weight on it, and clasped it round your wrist. You can be measured. You had a start date. You have a weight. In our house, we have little marks on the wall that chart the progress and growth of each of our children. But it's not the case with God. He cannot be measured. He had no beginning. He has no end. He's limitless. He's eternal. And when you and I get to know him through his word, he will equip you with power that is far beyond anything you have in and of yourself. Anything that you can imagine in this moment. He will never come to the end of himself, but you regularly do. So when you hit rock bottom, he is deeper still. When you hit the very depths of life, God is not just there, but he's deeper still. You can go further down than the depths of sadness that you're experiencing right now, and you're thinking, what if it gets worse? Guess what? God is there too. He will never come to the end of himself. I had my measuring tape out in the study this week. I'm hoping to get a new desk in there, and so I was measuring the space at the wall. I was measuring what room it would leave me with. I was measuring my current desk, and I was writing all the dimensions down, and I was feeling quite excited and feeling like this is going to be really good. I'm looking forward to getting a new desk, and I had all the measurements down, and it was like I am in control of something. I have this all sorted out, and then I read these words in a book that I got recently. Limited humans are lovers of measurement. We number, count, quantify, and track food labels, wall clocks, fuel gauges, friends, likes, scales, calories, budgets, marathon times, that one hurt, etc., etc. Being able to measure something is reassuring. It imparts to us a level of comfort and a sense of control. We believe ourselves to be without rival, and that's where a measureless God begins to upend our personal sense of awesomeness. Ouch. God cannot be measured. No beginning, no end. Could it be that the area of your life where you come up short is exactly where God is waiting for you? That the place where you currently feel I can't cope, I can't do it, and you're frantically trying to cover it up is the exact location where God is with you. When you reach your limit, a limitless God is there saying, I'm here. I'm here in this very moment when you have hit the buffers. I'm there. The anxiety, the anger, the shame, the weight of your own limited nature is known by a limitless God who wants to thoroughly equip you for every good work, and he plans to do it through his word. Why would you not go there? Why would you not open the pages of this book and meet him in his word? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The means by which God plans to equip you for everything that is in front of you right now is his word, and he wants to find you in it. You don't appease God by reading the Bible and getting that ticked off. He wants to bless you through his word. He wants to speak to you. God-breathed scripture will thoroughly equip you for whatever it is. I don't know your exact circumstances. You don't know my exact circumstances, but God-breathed scripture will thoroughly equip you. Why would you not open the book where a limitless God speaks to limited people and reminds them of himself? Father-like, he tends and spares us. Well, our feeble frame, he knows. In his hands, he gently bears us, rescues us from all our foes. Praise him. Praise him. That's why we will praise him. We will praise Jesus when we come to know him, when his father-like care for us. Isn't that what Paul says to Timothy? You, however, know all about my teaching, my way of life, my purpose, faith, patience, love, endurance, persecutions, sufferings, what kinds of things happened to me in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra, the persecutions I endured, yet the Lord rescued me from them all. Notice. Notice Paul didn't say the Lord prevented them all. Paul said the Lord rescued me from them all. Paul knew all about measurement. He was in prison as he wrote the letter. He was in confinement. He knew about limits and restrictions. And he writes this letter to his apprentice, Timothy, from prison. He was preparing his young apprentice for tough times and reminding him that persecution is a consequence of following Jesus. God has not abandoned us. Trouble, hardship, difficulty is not a sign that God has abandoned us. Quite the opposite. He testified that the Lord rescued him from them all. Not prevented them all, but rescued him from them all. He went through them. All the trouble, all the hardship, all the persecution. He went through them and God rescued him from them. He was thoroughly equipped to deal with all of it by God. What prison do you find yourself in today? You in a prison of anxiety? Are you in a prison of limits because of your current health situation? Are you in a relationship prison? Are you in a prison of unforgiveness, bitterness? Are you in a prison of hopelessness about your future? Are you in a financial prison? Prison of addiction? Are you in a prison of grief or depression? Let God meet you there. Let God meet you there in his word and see how time after time after time the Lord rescued people whom he loved from all of the things that they faced. God-breathed scripture will thoroughly equip you. If Timothy needed reminded of what Paul had faced as one of God's chosen people, then how much more do we need to be reminded of what Paul had faced as God's chosen people here in Carmoney? Could you read Hebrews 12 this week? Could you read Hebrews 11 and Hebrews 12? Could you read this list of heroes of the faith in Hebrews 11? see the different experiences of discipleship, how some people, you know, shut the mouths of lions and then other people were sawn in two, and they were both categorized as people of faith. We need to stop comparing with what's going on in other people's lives. Some people who trusted Jesus were sawn in two. Some people who trusted Jesus shut the mouths of lions. They were loved by him. God's love for them was no less. They had different circumstances, but they were equally loved. You read Hebrews 11. Read Hebrews chapter 12, where it says, consider him who endured the cross, scorned its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the Father. God's ability to sustain his people is unparalleled. Ask God to use his word to equip you to face the challenges that you're dealing with right now. Maybe it's the isolation or the uncertainty or the disappointment or pain, some kind, sadness, frustration, whatever it is. All the things that you cannot control right now are under his power. He's king. And he wants you to know him through his word. Rachel and I enjoy watching a TV show called This Is Us. You've maybe seen it. You may be addicted to it. And I can't even remember what season we're on now, but we got into it fairly recently and we really enjoy it. And it follows the Pearson family, particularly the three kids and how their lives develop and their own children. And it's kind of flicking back and forward to their early years and then now as they're grown up and all that kind of stuff. And one of the couples, Randall and Beth Pearson, have this incredible exchange on a fairly regular basis where life is pretty tough and they're feeling the pressure of things and they just stop and say these three words, worst case scenario. And when they say worst case scenario, what happens is that they stop in the moment and they say out loud the worst case scenario that they are imagining in their heads in that moment. And so they speak out loud these things like, my son's going to become an alcoholic, or my daughter is never going to speak to me again. Or they just stop in the moment as they're making decisions, as they're dealing with life, and they say worst case scenario. And it's almost as if they think that by saying it out loud, it somehow takes the fear away. That's their strategy to deal with their worst fears. Just say it out loud. It's quite funny to watch. And they start to think that their kids are old enough to play this game as their kids become teenagers. And so the kids start saying, worst case scenario. And it's funny to watch, but it strikes me that it's not much of a strategy for dealing with hard times. It's not much comfort, really, is it? Just to say the thing out loud and think, well, that's it. I've said it out loud. I've said the things that terrify me out loud. Nobody's listening. Nobody any ability to sustain me if this worst case scenario comes true. No future hope. No comfort. Christians are different though. In our worst case scenarios, Christians are thoroughly equipped to deal with them because the Word of God speaks about Jesus Christ, who revealed that the cross is weak in comparison to him. Jesus rose from the grave, conquered death, and defeated sin. Paul tells the Romans in chapter 8 that there is nothing that can separate us from the love of God. You name your worst case scenario. Not height or depth or anything else in all creation can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. Put your worst case scenario there. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. God breathed scripture will thoroughly equip you. As we finish up this morning, I want to read this short story that I came across during the week, and I think it's a really good example of the point that I believe I'm trying to make this morning. In 1993, three new tribes missionaries were kidnapped in Colombia by terrorists. And for 8 years, their families prayed and wondered and worried. And eventually, they were informed that the men were dead. Dan German was the new tribes mission director in Colombia at that time. And in an interview, he talked about how their prayers changed over time. They started out praying that God would bring the men home, bring them home safely, bring them back to their families, bring them back to us because they're so precious to us. But they ended up praying, God, even if we never know what has become of them, you will still be God. And he said in that interview, there is a very special sense of awe at who God is and how sufficient he is when the miracle doesn't happen, but the wonder of his sufficiency is still present. My prayer for you this morning is that when the miracle doesn't happen, you will know that God is still enough for you. That God-breathed scripture will thoroughly equip you for everything that is before you in the coming days. I'd love you to write that word equipped on a post-it note or make it the screensaver on your phone. Make it your profile picture on Facebook or do something just to remind you that no matter what is before you, all scripture is God-breathed. God has given it for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness so that you will be thoroughly equipped for everything that is before you in the coming days. Let's just take a moment to pray before the band come and lead us in song. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we bless you that everything in your word is for our benefit. The Bible is your gift to us, reminding us that we do not have to fend for ourselves. We are limited. You are limitless. We bring our worst case scenarios to you in faith, praying, be thou my vision, O Lord of my heart. Not be all else to me, save that thou art. Heart of my own heart, whatever befall, still be my vision, O ruler of all. Equip us thoroughly, Lord God, for everything that is before us at this time. Minister your peace and comfort to our hearts. We are limited people. You are a limitless God, the one who thoroughly equips us. You will not leave us empty-handed. You will not abandon us. You've promised to be with us always, even to the very end of the age. In Jesus' name, amen.